I had 7 o'clock.
Okay. All right, welcome to the June 10th, 2020, Amherst Town Council meeting. First is the call to order, which will have the Pledge of Allegiance, and then followed by the invocation by Ms. Ogden. If at any time during the invocation, if you feel uncomfortable and wish to leave, you can step out, and Ms. Carter will get you after it's over, so if we all rise, thank you.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Father God, I thank you for this evening and this beautiful day. Thank you for the privilege and the honor to come before you and before this meeting to do the town's business. And I ask that you bless this meeting, that you give us wisdom and discernment and guidance as to how best to serve the people of this town. We ask this and we will do so.
Okay, normally I would ask about silencing your phones. I just see Mr. Faulkner. Mr. Faulkner, if you would please silence your phone. So, all righty. Next, citizens' comments. Ms. Carton, did you receive any citizens' comments? Ms. Carton, I'm sorry.
No, Mr. Mayor, I did not.
Mm-hmm. Did you receive any? Okay, we're good. All right. On the agenda, does everybody, I take it, has had time to review the minutes from the last meeting. If there are no comments with that, I'll accept the motion to accept them.
I'll make a motion to accept the meeting minutes.
Have a motion from Ms. Ogden. I have a second.
A second.
Second from Ms. Carton. Since we're still on video, all will be roll call vote. Ms. Ogden?
Aye.
Ms. Carton?
Aye.
Ms. Green?
Aye.
Vote is carried 3-0-2.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Watts is...
Oh, I forgot. Mr. Watts?
Although I don't see him, but he is...
He's there, but we can't hear him. He's not muted. Just give us a thumbs up, Mr. Watts.
Okay, because I can't see him, so...
I can see him.
All right, well, you just... Can you relay? Did he give
Mr. Watts, do you have an affirmative vote on the minutes? If so, can you give us a thumbs up on your screen?
Well, if we... If he'll say that again, I can hear him.
All right, I'm listening on audio, Mr. Watts, and Vicki is as well. Are you an affirmative vote on the minutes? We're obviously still having audio problems because he's having a hard time hearing us.
Thank you.
He said yes.
He's good. He got his phone. All right, then it is 4-0-1 with Mr. Bunch being absent. Next is staff reports. Is there any questions of the staff reports? They should have all been in your packet. Does Mr. Watts have any questions on the staff reports?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. No.
Okay. Council, Ms. Carton, committee reports, Finance Committee.
Yeah, the Finance Committee, we met on May 20th. The minutes attached. We went over with staff, the town manager, Ms. Carter, and Tracy, finance director, the new budget since COVID-19, which is greatly slashed, but doable. So the town is in a good place. So we'll be able to function just on a skinnier budget. That's all we went over. Nothing to, Ms. Carter, the town manager, will go over that later.
Okay, is the recommendation coming from the finance committee to recommend the acceptance of the budget?
Absolutely,
as presented?
Yes.
Okay, so what we're going to do now with that is we're going to go straight to number two under discussion items for the budget, since it's coming out of finance as a recommendation. Now we're at the part that we just for discussion, there's no second needed. So Ms. Carter, is there anything you would like to add on to that?
The one thing I would want to point out to council is that we are taking money from reserves to balance this budget. This budget is based on the most pessimistic projections that really that I think anyone around here is doing. I would like us to be rather under projecting our revenue rather than over projecting our revenues. So this budget is based on an approximate 40% decrease on what we had budgeted for meals and beverage and business licenses. I don't think it will be that bad, but I also didn't want to build a budget on something and then find out it became worse. The budget, the general fund is about $250,000 in the hole. That money is coming from reserves. We are in a very good place to be able to do that because we did have a CD mature, so we're fine in terms of where we are in our overall savings. And I am hopeful that we will not need nearly that much as the year goes on. The budget does not have any raises for staff, cost of living, or step increases, and it has taken out the capital improvement plan funding.
Is there any other discussion from the members of council? Mr. Watts, do you have anything you want to say?
I can hear you, Mr. Watts, but the rest of council cannot, so I will be relaying your comments to them. Okay. He said he didn't have any comments on the budget, but he's having a hard time with the echo when any of council speaking. He can hear me, but not
council.
He may
cut it down if he put the earplugs in himself and ran it off his earplugs instead of off his speaker.
Yeah, he's on the computer, so he's going to have to do it.
Okay, he's going to, all right. All right, Mr. Watts had no comments.
No any, further comments.
Anybody in... any further people in council have any comments? Being no comments, there is no second needed. Roll call vote. Mr. Watts.
He votes aye.
Ms. Ogden.
Aye.
Ms. Carton.
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton, I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. The vote is 3-1. All right, now we're coming down, we go back to the front. Community relations did not meet. Mr. Watts, did the utilities committee meet?
No, sir, no meetings.
Thank you. I can hear him because I'm picking up the earphones.
Okay.
So, all right. Next, Ms. Carter, the acceptance of the CARES Act funding.
Mr. Mayor, do you mind if I go back quickly to the Planning Commission and just update?
Oh, I'm sorry, I overlooked that. No, ma'am, go right ahead.
A Planning Commission did meet to discuss a possible sign ordinance amendment for works of art to allow a love sign be constructed at the visitor center. They have made some requests for changes to the language. I will be taking it back to the commission next month, and I hope that we'll be able to go to public hearing the following month. So we're still at least a few months away from that. So that's why you don't have anything on your agenda requesting a public hearing at this point.
Okay. Now we move forward. I'm sorry, I overlooked that. Back to you again, Ms. Carter, for the CARES Act funding.
So I've told council a few times in some emails, and we've had some discussions about the challenges with the CARES Act funding. The town's allocation of CARES Act funding will be approximately $193,000. There's very limited things we can spend that on. It cannot be revenue replacement for the town. It cannot be anything related to facilities personnel unless the personnel has, their duties have substantially changed. So for example, if you had part-time Parks and Rec staff and you actually changed what they were doing to respond directly to the COVID crisis, you could use it for that. But as long as people are substantially doing the same jobs, you really can't use it for those kinds of costs. The three areas that I'm looking at that really do fit in with what the CARES Act will allow us to do is first reimbursement back to the town for the direct expenses that we have had. So that would be PPE, cleaning. We did purchase a laptop for Ms. Wright to be able to work at home. So those expenses are directly related back to the particular crisis, and we can reimburse the town for those expenses. The second area of funding that is eligible that I'd like to bring forward to council is hazard pay for our police officers. Public safety hazard pay is an allowable use for CARES Act funding. And then the third use would be actually to take the majority of the money, which, because neither the hazard pay nor the reimbursement would be a lot of money, take the majority and actually do small business grants for lost revenue during the COVID crisis, which is again directly enumerated in the CARES Act legislation. I really don't want to take a chance on doing something that's on the edge. I mean, some localities are kind of being a little, they're kind of coloring into the, going into that shades of gray area with what they're doing with the funding, understanding that they could end up in a situation where that's going to come out of their local budgets. Because we are a conservative community and we have, in terms of our financing, and we've worked very hard to not have to collect taxes from our residents, I think that we want to make sure we're staying in that very, very dark line between, you know, all those areas that are legal and we know and they're enumerated. So those are the items that I'm really looking at this point. My intention is to work with the county and Mr. Berry to come up with an agreement. We've gotten a form from the county that talks about our responsibility to make sure we're staying within that framework, because if they don't have that from us, they are ultimately responsible to make sure we've done what we're supposed to do. So we're going to work on kind of working through that document, and then the county's planning to turn the money over to us around the end of this month. And we do show that in the budget just as CARES funding revenue and expenditure, but no defined how that's being spent. We will come back to council with some details on that.
Okay, thank you. So that was kind of like an overview we'll be looking at. Once you nail it down, you'll come back and let us know where we're going with all of that.
My plan is to have a firm recommendation to council for next month. I think things are starting to get clear enough now in terms of the guidance we're receiving that I'll be able to give council a very safe recommendation next month. This month we still, Ms. Wright and I both looking at the information, still have a lot of questions, particularly about the hazard pay. That's one of the ones that we're really trying to make sure we've got everything nailed down on that, so it doesn't create a problem for us in terms of having to return the funding.
Okay, thank you. All right, we've already taken care of number two, so we're going to go to number three. Ms. Carter setting the public hearing for lease of town property.
So council has had a closed session on this issue where we have had a request and have had some conversation with an applicant who would like to lease property at Brockman for the purpose of having a temporary RV park for housing workers that are associated with the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. From their perspective, this is a location that makes a lot of sense because the laydown yard and where they'll be actually having the workers meet in the morning is the site that Dominion is leasing at Brockman. So there's a lot of logic to having the workers there as well. What I would like council to do is set the public hearing for the lease. We, I've also sent council some of the negotiations that's going on, and council, if you would respond to the email that gave you that. Those are still confidential. Once we've set the public hearing for the lease and we come up with a draft lease, that of course will get published. We'll put it on the website with all the details, but I wanted to make sure we got the public hearing out there, had that conversation, and then continue to solicit input from council prior to Mr. Berry drafting the lease.
Okay, so based on that, does we just need to have a motion to set the public hearing. Can I have a motion to set the public hearing, please? Mr. Watts has a motion. Is there a second?
Second
from Ms. Carp. Roll call vote. Is there any further discussion? Okay, roll call vote. Mr. Watts. Mr. Watts was an aye. Ms. Ogden?
Aye.
Ms. Carton?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
The vote is 4-0-1. The next item is determination for the lease plat. Ms. Carter.
I tucked several pages into your agenda because this is a little bit unusual. In the industrial park zoning, there is two separate areas. The area closest to Route 60, and then as you move back, the second area. And there's Class 1 uses, as listed in the ordinance, are allowed in the first 1,000 feet from Route 60. And Class 1 and 2 uses are allowed in the remainder moving back. In Class 1, you are allowed to have motorhomes, motels, those kinds of uses. In the very last line of the Class 2 uses, it talks about the fact that council can find other uses appropriate, any other use that council deems appropriate for Class 2. The area that is looking to be leased is within that Class 2 area. Typically, if that language wasn't in the zoning ordinance, it would be up to the zoning administrator to determine, does this match what the overall ordinance says, since this is not an enumerated use in the ordinance. As the zoning administrator, I would say yes, because you're allowing motels and motorhomes in the Class 1. This is in the Class 2 area. The temporary RV park would be a little bit more intense, obviously, than a motel or a motor hotel. So from my perspective, it would fit. But this is really going to be up to council at this point because of the way the ordinance is structured. So what I'm looking for is council to simply make a determination about whether they find that use acceptable in that rear portion of the industrial park. And I'm narrowing it down to temporary RV park, not a mobile home park, which is defined differently, but RVs and temporary.
Okay. So with what Ms. Carter explained, we have a motion to approve for the temporary RV park to run in conjunction with the Dominion Coast with the pipeline.
May I ask a question?
They'll come after.
I'm sorry.
Do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion to include the word temporary into that code language for the RV.
I have a motion. May I have a second? I have a second. Okay. Now, any discussion? Ms. Wheaton?
Well, I don't know what to ask at this point in time, going forward, other than regarding the Class 1 use, and which we discussed the Class 1 too. But it says specifically prohibited in the ordinance for the E1 district called permanent residential uses such as single family homes, apartments and townhomes, and mobile home parks. I don't feel comfortable voting for this until I can have more information. I don't know what I'm allowed to discuss or not to discuss. This is a big deal, and I want to make sure we do it correctly. I think that that's to be debated about the mobile home parks. It takes a lot into consideration. If you look online, you've got different types of motor homes. I have a list of questions that I need to ask. So I don't know how to go out to staying, because I don't know what I'm allowed to ask. I just think that's just sort of a, you're going to change something without discussing it? I mean,
yes,
I don't know how to do this.
I think the only reason why we're moving forward with the language at this point, it's not changing the code, it's changing it so we can open the public hearing.
But we're not changing.
No, it's
what is the legal, I mean, explain it to me.
It's a policy that, and what it's done is instead of where normally, we're not asking for the change, which I think should be made, that it should be put back on the zoning administrator to make this choice. But according to the policy, it is that we as council make this choice for this specific action, not for if another group comes in 3 years down the road and asks, we have to vote again. This is for this specific action for the temporary time frame that the pipeline is there.
What is that?
They're going to be there 2 years.
They're requesting a lease term of up to 3 years.
Right, and then once they leave, It's what it is. It's they're just like joined.
Well, I'm not comfortable doing it because of the questions I have, and I'm not sure what I'm allowed to ask at this point in time.
You can ask any question about the memo that was put out. The only things that we really can't answer or get into at this point are the terms of the negotiation itself. So the monetary terms or anything that they're offering as part of the package. So if you're asking anything about the use or about the zoning or anything, it's all wide open at this point. It's really just the terms of the negotiation that aren't appropriate to discuss.
So if I ask a question and I'm not supposed to, you have to stop me,
mm-hmm.
or you won't answer it, which I respect. Okay, so for an example, there are different type of motorhomes. What is this going to be?
So this is specifically for an RV, mm-hmm. so that is differently defined than a mobile home. So, but as an RV, in terms of an RV, it could be a very large RV, it could be a camper on the back of a pickup truck.
Class A, Class B, Class C?
It can be any RV.
Yes, that's an RV.
Any of them. So it could be a 45-foot long,
yes, ma'am.
RV, like a tractor trailer size.
Yes,
it can be one with a... Yeah.
Like a tent.
Okay. So it's any
class. Yeah.
What about things like, what do we as a town have, or the IDA, you know, whichever, has to, what do we have to do? I mean, what are they going to do as far as signs, mowing and landscape, laundry facilities, automobile parking, how many people per unit? Now, I don't know this, but what's our local law of maximum density per acre? How many acres? I mean, water, sewer, electric, are we going to have gas out there? Are we going to do a pool?
No, that's not stuff that we do. They're going to put an RV park out there.
Mm-hmm.
The trailers or RVs are going to be there during that time. This is not going to become a permanent community.
Well,
and that's what a fitness center would be, a pool would be, and all that would be a permanent facility. They just wouldn't do all that for 2 years.
Or what about family members? Are they coming in on the weekends? Do they go?
Well,
so we have more people. How many people?
We
can't
dictate how many people come and go. I mean, if a trailer says it can hold 8 people, we're not going to go around and count, make sure there's only 8 people in
the
trailer.
How many trailers are we looking at?
I don't know.
Well, I can't vote without all this information. I mean, that's why I'm surprised the gentleman wasn't here to answer these. I think it's just... It can be really big. I mean, are we going to have fire pits? Are we going to have banning the fires? I just don't know. Streets, laundry facilities?
All of those are questions that would really be answered through the lease public hearing, because
right.
That's when you would get into the specifics of his proposal. For the purpose of the request tonight, it's really about setting the public hearing and determining whether that class of use is acceptable. So the level of detail you're looking is not normally what we would discuss until we got to the lease public hearing, and then it's also part of the negotiations. So any feedback you have about things you're hoping to see or questions you have, we should be adding that into the negotiation conversation. Thank you.
So, all right. We'll go to the vote for the policy or the use determination of lease. Mr. Watts, yes or no? Mr. Watts is an aye. Ms. Ogden?
Aye.
Ms. Carlton? And Ms. Sweeten?
No.
Vote is 3-1-1. Next item on it, again, Ms. Carter, is the mutual aid agreement.
Yes, sir. We have had a mutual aid agreement for several years, and then there was a pretty substantial redo of it in 2017 that went through and it established mutual aid for not just Amherst and the town and the county, but also Lynchburg, Bedford County. It's a Campbell, Appomattox. It's a very broad regional mutual aid agreement. This is something that the council considered back in 2017 and would have continued to roll forward without any action on the part of council. However, when we had three sheriffs get elected this last time, they did not, within the time frame established in the mutual aid agreement, activate their locality's participation. So then when they went back and said they wanted to join the mutual aid agreement, in order to let them in now, we have to reaccept it. So this is really the exact same agreement that we have been functioning under for multiple years now, but in order to let those three sheriffs in, all the localities have to come back in.
Okay. So I will accept the motion to authorize for everybody to enter back into the mutual aid agreement. Have a motion from Ms. Ogden. Have a second.
Mr. Watts.
Mr. Watts is second. Is there any further discussion? Further discussion. Mr. Watts. No. Vote. You vote yes?
He voted aye.
Okay, because it was blurry at that point. Ms. Ogden.
Aye.
Ms. Carton.
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
4-0-0. 4-0-1, I'm sorry. Hazard pay policy, Ms. Carter.
One of the things that has come up through the discussion about the CARES Act and about funding for hazard pay has been the idea of, do we need to have a policy in order to use CARES funding for hazard pay? In the world of FEMA, in order to use FEMA funding for hazard pay, you have to have had a pay policy for that prior to the occurrence. The CARES Act, you do not have to have had one prior to the occurrence, and then there is some question about whether or not you need to have one afterwards, like do we need to have one before we get the hazard pay. That's one of the questions that's still out there. Maybe, maybe not. We're still seeking clarification on it. However, in preparation for trying to do hazard pay for the CARES Act, I would prefer just to check that box so it is done, and that way if we need it, we have done it at the first opportunity, which would be tonight's meeting. I really very broadly gave the language in your packet about the hazard pay policy. Did require that there be some kind of actual emergency declaration, so we weren't just dealing with, you know, regular job duties. We are really dealing with something that is different. But other than that, did not put amounts, just wanted to be able to kind of say, here, you now have the ability to do this by policy. That's an amendment to your personnel policy.
Okay. May I have a motion to accept the new policy, the hazard pay policy?
I'll make that
motion. A motion from Ms. Carton. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Second from Ms. Ogden. Is there any discussion?
How will we go about determining when and how it's used and set up and, I guess I want a little more clarification.
My intention, particularly with the CARES Act, is that I'm going to bring the specifics about how we're gonna spend that CARES Act funding to council. And so you're gonna really vote on that implementation on the CARES Act money that way. From the point of view of general pay, I would say that this is, the way it is written, really does grant broad authority to the town manager, consistent with the authority that the town manager already has over the pay of the employees. So, and that's part of why I left it that way, because in terms of how the town has functioned, the charter and the council has granted authority to the town manager to essentially handle those pay questions. And so it's very much left in that same bailiwick. But where the CARES funding is concerned, I'm going to be very much bringing that whole package to you, and you're gonna know this is what we decided in terms of a per hour rate. This is how much that total is going to be, the time frame it's used for.
Okay, thank you.
Now also in the language, just to clarify, in case there's anyone that has questions out there as well, you very nicely and eloquently put in there that it's when there is a declared emergency, whether it be in the state or our locality, that's right. The only time that will take place. It's not just for, you know, there's an emergency here locally and so they get paid overtime. No, it has to be a declaration of
yeah,
state
that,
of emergency.
That's what I was going to jump in and say. That's an important part, because if we use the police department for an example, there's a lot of things they do that you might consider hazard duty to the normal people, but it's part of their job description, working wrecks, working hazmat wrecks, going to fire scenes and all that stuff. That's part of their everyday duties. So if there is a state or local declared and something happens with it, like a flood, and they end up being out waiting in the lawn or stuff like that, then that, and it's declared a local emergency or state emergency, then that's where that comes in. Okay. So it's not just a, oh, you know, we got a bad wreck that there was gas all over the road. You know, that's the way it goes. So, does that seem like you?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right, on that, may I have a motion to accept it, to accept the policy? Oh, wait, I already did that. I'm sorry. I got confused there. Now, we're just on the vote. Mr. Watts. Mr. Watts is an aye. Ms. Ogden.
Aye.
Ms. Carden.
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
4-0-1. Next is appointments to the board. The board appointments, Ms. Carden.
We just had one that last month, we hadn't heard back from Mr. Bailey regarding the Industrial Development Authority. He is willing to serve another term, so staff asks that you reappoint Mr. Bailey, and staff reminds you that there are two vacancies on the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Okay, so I will accept the motion to reappoint Mr. Bailey.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Mr. Watts, make the motion. Ms. Ogden, you second? Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Oh, I'm sorry. Did everybody say aye? You didn't? Okay. I know you were. You're keeping me straight. All right, let's go this way. Ms. Ogden?
Aye.
I'm going to switch it up. Mr. Watts? He had already said aye. Ms. Carden?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Four zero one.
I can't talk. Operate all these apparatuses.
I'm telling you, you know. All right. The final is from the Amherst Mill. We still at this time have not heard anything further from Mr. McCormick. My suggestion is by consensus that we just, I mean, he can't declare it a conservation easement or nothing until he's brought to us and voted anyway. So just keep moving along. By consensus, I'd like to do that. Okay, Mr. Watts, we can't see you shake your head, so are you saying yes? Are you saying yes? Okay, thank you. All right. He was clearing his throat. I didn't know what that had to do with shaking his head. But we're okay. Matters from staff. Ms. Carter, have you had any matters from any other staff brought forward that you need to bring to us?
The one thing I would say, and it is sad not to have staff here to be able to say this when they're all here or to be able to have them present it to you, but our last lead and copper testing did pass.
All right.
Fantastic. That's great news. Well, since you're here, Ms. Hunt, you get put on the spot. Do you have anything you want to say?
No, sir. I have nothing.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Matters from council. Ms. Wheaton.
None.
Ms. Carter.
It's been brought to my attention that there was a recent opening on the region on the Virginia Planning District Commission's Board of Directors. They were asking for who would be interested in that position. They had some seats available. It's my understanding that our mayor was interested in one of those seats, which is a statewide board seat. And so he would like a consensus from council that he has our blessing to join that group and serve and represent our community on the state for the Virginia Planning District Commission, which, if you're not all familiar with what they do, they work with local businesses. It's a huge networking opportunity. You could potentially locate businesses that may want to relocate to the town of Amherst and get different affiliates and networking that could potentially help us, and not only that, we can help other people potentially. So I would like, I guess, you want to vote individually. I guess we do need to do a roll call vote individually if all council feels like they're okay with sending our mayor forth to represent Amherst on this VEPDC.
Okay.
You
take care
of
that.
Do it?
Yes.
Okay,
you take
I can't hear Mr. Watts.
Well, she can hear.
Mr. Watts, how do you vote on this topic?
Is this a consensus or is this a motion?
I think this is a roll call vote to consensus because we can't
see everybody.
We can't see everybody. Ms. Carter, did you hear anything from Mr. Watts?
He said yes.
He did say yes. Okay. Ms. Ogden?
Yes.
Ms. Wheaton?
No.
And Ms. Carter, me, I say yes.
Okay, Ms. Wheaton, I would like to just wonder. You made it clear that you're here to do what's right for this community. So here's a chance for us to work about getting businesses in this community, making connections from all around the state to work on getting businesses and more things in this community. So why is that another?
Maybe discuss that with Mr. Berry, please.
Mr. Berry has nothing to do with that.
I would rather note, and I'll say no comment then.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make that known.
It's been made known more than once.
Well, it's been made known here because I think that does not look out for the community for that choice.
I believe I'm doing a very good job trying my best.
That's enough. Move on. Ms. Ogden, you have anything?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the white patterns on particularly South Main Street. Between Wachovia and the bank, or the library, in particular, Wells Fargo and the bank, there is a lot of vegetation growing into the bike paths so that I can't even walk down the bike paths. You know, so I'd like to see, we have a snow removal policy for the sidewalks, right? Mm-hmm. Something similar for vegetation on sidewalks, bike paths that are close to the curb, things like that. See some sort of cleanup so that, you know, if we want to be a pedestrian, bicycle friendly community, that those folks can ride through the bike lane without getting smacked in the face with a cherry branch.
So we're from Wells Fargo down to the library?
Mm-hmm.
It's on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
It's not on
right.
The southbound side.
Well, it's on both.
It's on both. But you're referring to the northbound side?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
we really don't need a policy in order to accomplish that. We currently do whenever we've got any issue reported to us about overhanging branches on the sidewalks or on the bike lanes. VDOT is perfectly happy to have maintenance take care of that. They say, yay, go for it. So, I mean, that's a kind of, it's kind of like picking up signs in VDOT's right of way. VDOT grants broad authority to the localities to allow the localities to help maintain those sorts of things.
Okay.
So I can certainly alert maintenance to that issue and get that taken care of.
I didn't know whether it was a town maintenance type of thing or whether it was a resident.
We can request
type of thing.
We can request VDOT to do that, but typically then we've got to kind of get on the calendar and it goes in as a work order and it can take a little while. So unless it turns out to be something fairly substantial, our practice has been just to take care of it.
Anything else? Okay. Ms. Carter, have we had any further citizens' comments?
No, sir. Mr. Watts has a comment.
You have a comment?
Normally, if we have a high reading, we actually have hangers to hang them on their doors for that. So I'd have to ask why it wasn't done in that particular case, because we've had several people get alerted about those kinds of situations from the door hangers. So we do have those, and I'll try to find out why that wasn't done in that case, because... Yes, sir, I certainly will.
Okay, is that, you finished?
That's
all. All right, now we'll go to citizens' comments. Ms. Carter, have you had any more citizens' comments?
Yes, sir.
No?
All right.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Conley, second.
I'll second it.
Second from Ms. Carter. Roll call. Mr. Watts.
Yes.
Ms. Ivy.
Aye.
Ms. Carter.
Aye.
And Ms. Wood.
Aye.
4-0-1.
It should be next month.
Okay. Ricky, are you all set?
And the other thing, that was...